Thank you for joining us here on 2CBD FM, your local community radio station in Glen Innes and Deepwater. My name's David. Neville's ducked out for a coffee, so the lunatic has officially taken over the asylum. Thankfully, we do have the voice of sanity with us. We have a special guest this morning, and Margot, I'd like to welcome you, Margot Davis, who is the Manager of Economic Development at Glen Innes 7 Council. Good morning.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, look, I had a bit of reading to do in the past week or so, and the talk around council hallways, I suppose, is something called the Draft Place Strategy for 2020 to 2040 and the Place Action Plan, which is all quite a mouthful. And so because I was not very good at coming up with a synopsis for it, I thought we'd get you in and talk about it instead, because you probably know what's going on far better than we do. Margot, what is the Place Strategy?
Yeah, so basically, Council's delivery program was to deliver the next economic development strategy. The last one we reviewed, and this next strategy takes us 20 years into the future to 2040. And it comes with a place action plan, which is for the next 5 years. So we're looking at how we approach economic development here in Glen Innes for the next 20 years and then starting off with the five-year action plan.
Okay. Just so I'll interrupt you just there. In one sentence, tell me, what is economic development?
Well, economic development is looking at local economic prosperity, but more than that these days, and that's where the place comes into it, is that place-based strategies look at the connections between place and socioeconomic prosperity and well-being. So really the economic development strategy, or the renamed place strategy, which is based on these four pillars of people, place, prosperity and partnerships, is there to assist the community to take a consistent and focused approach to addressing their challenges, making sure that they're fit for the future and that their community has social and economic well-being and prosperity.
Okay, well, that's something obviously that we'd all like to see. So the document that we've got in front of us here, and as I say, it is not light reading, but it is interesting reading. How did that come about? What's been the process behind that?
Sure. So for those interested, it takes... Well, I guess it came about because of council really wanting to make sure that we had a strategy going forward. And what we did is we approached it in several phases. So the first phase was to look at the detailed background analysis, and that's crunching the numbers. We worked with an economist on that. And the second phase was to go out to community consultation, which we did. And then essentially we mashed those two things together, and then I wrote the strategy and put it into this document. So it is a labour of love in a way for me and for council, but it's a really important document for the community to read, because it does take a different approach, and it is asking the community to come and help deliver it through the proposed implementation model.
Well, I guess the only comment I'd make on that, or a comment I'd make on that, sorry, is something that I've always believed, and that is it's very easy to, I guess, be a citizen of a town and sit back and expect things to happen, and that's a reasonable expectation. You pay the council rates and you want them to do things in return for that. But I guess the other point is, council is always, well, as far as I'm aware, in a lot of cases, and in particular in this case, giving local residents the opportunity to drive that strategy and actually be a part of it, as opposed to just being a passive participant, or maybe even not a participant.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, economic development is only minorly funded in council. A lot of what I'm doing in my role at the moment with my team and with the support of the councillors and directors is grant funded. When you pay your rates, that doesn't go towards economic development per se. For example, there's a small budget there, but we are able to do a lot if we pull together as a community. And certainly council can play a role in developing the draft and doing all the homework. But really, when we get to the action and the ideas to deliver the action, that's where we really need the community to come on board and work collaboratively with us to deliver the actions.
Okay, sure. Now, that makes sense to me. Now, the document talks about, and I guess this makes sense, we want to talk about some of the things that we maybe need to overcome as a region or as a town to have economic prosperity. And the document goes into those in a fair bit of detail. Can you give us maybe a couple of examples of some of the key challenges that that the community consultation process has indicated that Glen Innes faces for economic development?
Sure. And community consultation has been great so far, and we're in our second round now. But when we're looking at it, you know, from a numbers point of view, from an economic, local economic health point of view, really the key challenges are around our stagnant population and our changing demographics. That's number one. We have a volatile local economy. It goes up and down as our over-dominance on agriculture is the reason for that. So we need to be looking at that stagnant population growth and that over-reliance on agriculture, as well as looking at the availability of local skills and jobs. And so at the end of the day, these challenges are real. They are challenges that we need to address. For instance, in 2040, the projection is our population, you know, will dramatically drop. And it will be more over-indexed on the ageing population than Northern Inland, than New South Wales, and indeed most of Australia. So that's a real challenge, because that has an impact on how much is spent by our community in the local economy. That will affect more retail in our town. It will affect the delivery of, or the ability for us to maintain or improve services around health and around education. So we need to look at that stagnant population growth, but not only that, the changing demographics are a huge factor. And diversifying agriculture is a key part of this strategy. So we have an over-reliance on that. And our small businesses also, 99.3% of businesses in town, including on-farm businesses, of course, are employing less than one person, so they're owner-operated. So we need to be working with the agricultural industry and working with retail to try and incite growth opportunities so that we can improve overall employment outcomes and have less of an issue around labour and skills.
Okay. No, well, I mean, what you've said there, and you've touched on a few things that I think, you know, anyone walking down Grey Street and having their ears open would hear discussion about in town. You've mentioned that there's going to be challenges if things progress the way they are, if, particularly in relation to health. Yeah. Something that, you know, you will hear spoken about, you know, more than once a day by lots and lots of people in town is the difficulty with health services, even now. I guess the question is this document something that can address that, or has a plan to attack that? Is that the purpose behind it, or what is it involved?
The economic development strategy really, it looks at the opportunity within healthcare to address some of the key challenges. So if you look at what we need to do to address those, we need to be attracting families. We need to be looking at the ageing population and seeing it as an opportunity to attract those families and those skilled workers and improve our healthcare services and take care of our elderly. The community strategic plan, which is the 10-year plan that is driven by the community, and that's going to be up for renewal soon. But that's really, you know, where some of these other more micro issues around those challenges need to be raised by the community, so that council can really focus on some of those challenges around the doctors, The healthcare, obviously, Adam Marshall's promise of $20 million for our upgrade to our hospital is something that we're constantly lobbying to continue, and there has been some planning commenced on that. There are a lot of strategies that feed into up to the community strategic plan and down to the four-year delivery program, and this is one of those strategies. Other ones will be the destination management plan, which is going up to council in February. Another one is the local strategic planning statement and local land use and asset development. So there's a lot that feeds into what actually the council focus on, and that is really driven by who you elect. Yep. And elections are coming up in September. So I encourage you to, look at all of these varying documents, not just this one, and use the opportunity during that community consultation to express your views and concerns and where you want to see council focusing overarchingly into the future.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Margot, we've talked about, let's lighten the mood a little bit. We've talked about some of the challenges. What are some of the opportunities that this community consultation process or previous community consultation processes have identified? What's something that gets people excited about what Glenlinners could be?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the last round of feedback, some of the key things that sort of came out was, more local pride and celebration of what we do have here as a community. And also around, the need for more support and incentives to attract investment, but also to support local small business. Co-working spaces came up, the opportunity for micro businesses to have a place to be. And really the idea around, greater digital connectivity, of course. We should be leveraging, and we will be leveraging, as is some of the actions in the plan, remote ready working, and also looking at, our water supply to encourage the manufacturing and industry infrastructure. So promoting the low cost of living. Mm-hmm. So, our marketing strategy for our town under Glenlinners Highlands, which we do as well, is all about visit, live, invest. And those three areas are intrinsically linked, and as is socioeconomic prosperity within an economic development context. So really, and another interesting point the community brought up is nurturing and championing in the next generation of leaders and creating local employment opportunities. We're very aware of, our youth unemployment, our overall unemployment challenges. But there's things that sit behind that that can be addressed in the action plan that we can do as a community to move forward, because there actually are jobs in town. The perception of those jobs for people potentially considering moving, they're not online, so people aren't seeing them.
Mm.
But there are jobs.
Yeah. No, well, that's interesting, and as you say, there's more information about in the document about that. Look, I'm honestly quite fascinated by all this, and I want to find out more. But Margot, we're going to take a short break and just have a word from our sponsor. And if you'd like to stick around, we'll continue in a few minutes.
Love to.
And thanks for staying with us here on 2CBD 105.9 and 91.1. David Lewis and Margot Davis, Manager of Economic Development from the Glenlinners 7 Council. And we're talking about the draft place strategy, which is currently open for feedback and submissions. If you've missed what we've discussed so far, it will be on our website later today for you to review. So, Margot, the place strategy and action plan presents lots of interesting ideas, and a lot of them certainly generate discussion and are worthy of a lot of discussion. And I suppose that's the point of the consultation process. Are there any examples of some practical outcomes or practical things that might be getting put in place as a result, even at this early stage? You mentioned something earlier about co-working spaces. Would that be an example?
Yeah, absolutely. And because the strategy actually starts, the action plan starts 2020. So there's a lot of things that we're already in train doing, but. Some of those are around, I guess we just want to be clear about, the action plans are there to deliver an outcome, But how we deliver that outcome is actually where the community can get involved in this new way of collaborating between council and community. So it's not set in stone how. It's kind of what we're asking for at the moment is what, which is the action plan. And some of those things are things that we really need to just get on and do around workforce attraction, remote-ready workshops, programs to deliver more leadership in our and mentoring in our youth and nurturing the next generation. We have grant applications in currently for a physical space where the community and business can come together. And we're also working on the next phase of a startup incubation company coming here to Glen Innes and running an incubation program. And so the Highlands Hub, which is what we're calling it, will be a place for community and business to come together to learn, engage, inspire each other. And at the centre of that, hopefully, will be this startup incubator. So I think that that initiative already addresses some of the things that the community have said that they wanted. But other things include looking at... one of the key things for the community is things to do for families as well, mm-hmm. and things to do in the community. And the place-based approach really really secures the fact that when we are doing or looking at new opportunities, new things to do, new assets to build, new tourism attractions, that we need to make sure that these are first and foremost something that the community can use. Because we, you know, place-based is all about growing from within and nurturing our own community before we look outside. So some of those things we've already got in train are escape rooms, which is really exciting and very cool. I think the younger generation will maybe know what that is, but that's in train and that's funded. And this,
actually, I'll just interrupt you there. I was only reading on Facebook about a week or two ago. I don't know if it was a dedicated group, but I think it was a dedicated Facebook group for people who travel the country going to different escape rooms.
They do.
So,
but also it's there for our youth in our community. It's another thing to do. And other things to do, if you like, that we're working on already based on the community feedback and what we need to achieve is, you know, we're incubating a powerhouse museum with the local groups, community groups, which is really key to incubating anything. You need a community group that's going to sit behind and help you do it and drive it and build it. And we can help certainly fund it through grant funding. But another one is, you know, we're talking about a motorsports complex could be one that we could also do. So there's a lot of things that we're incubating with community groups, and we encourage community groups that do, you know, are passionate about having something in the community that they come and talk to me and we can discuss how to move that forward.
So, sorry, I'll just interrupt you again, Margot. So if I was to put that again into one sentence, if you're a community group and you've got an idea that you think is amazing and is going to be wonderful for the town, but you don't necessarily know how to attack it or it's just in the early stages, come and have a chat and we'll... You'll see what you can do. Yep. Well, that's handy to know. Good.
And that's how the Powerhouse Museum idea and the motorsports complex idea, they're still ideas. They need to be worked through. But that's how they've come about, is from community groups coming and saying, look, you know, we want to do this. How do we go about it? Is it feasible?
No, sure. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as you know, and as our listeners know, 2CBD is a non-profit group. So we're a community group. And look, we've got a very full plate as a group of volunteers, as most all community organisations that I know of have a full plate. So getting new ideas off the ground, as exciting as they are, sometimes there's just not the resources to do it. So to know that there's that sort of support there would be, I'm sure, interesting to a lot of people.
Yeah, because with any business, council is a business and we have finite resources and we have finite budget. And that's the idea of this implementation model, which I encourage people to really have a look at. It's different. You know, it is asking for four different personalities on each of the place strategy squads. We're trying to be a little bit playful with it, but also, you know, fundamentally there's a reason why we've created those characters. which is to try and get the right group of people together on those squads to collaborate with council and come together and be productive and be effective and be able to deliver.
And I guess I'm going to put words into your mouth here, so correct me if I'm wrong, but when you say the right kind of people, I'm assuming you're talking about a diverse range of people with different skills, not necessarily people who are educated in a certain way, just people from different backgrounds or with different attitudes.
Yeah, well, it all comes down to these four pillars of people, place, prosperity and partnership. So what we're asking, so, you know, for instance, I'll just give one example so I don't bore everyone too much.
That's okay.
But the people squad is all about socioeconomic well-being. So what we're asking for, or hopefully we'll be asking for, is for people to nominate as someone who can be a wise soul on that squad. An experienced leader, innovator and category expert. No, they don't have to be old. I purposely removed old from that. A young blood who represents the next generation and a potential future leader. So that's all about bridging that gap and looking at, transition planning to the next generation. A daredevil, a risk taker, unafraid of failure and dedicated to ideas like, you know, we need to not be worried about failing and we just try again. And that's the kind of mentality that person would have.
There is a quote there that I'll throw at you where that doesn't always work. And that is they say, if at first you don't succeed, try again, does not apply to parachuting.
Yes, and you can also look at the definition of insanity as well. And you go, you do the same thing over and over again.
This is true.
But, yeah, the idea is that character in the group, is kind of unafraid, unhindered by, everything that's going on around. They're kind of like a free thinker.
Okay.
And a connector, someone who's a digital native. That's the way we live and that's the way things are going forward. So we need to make sure that we have that person on the squad that is a listener and a collaborator and is able to get the messages out to the community. Because part of the squad's role is to feed into the place leadership team, but also to connect out with the community in relation to that pillar, if you like, the people and socioeconomic wellbeing pillar.
Okay, excellent. Well, look, thanks, Margot, for the information today. What we've covered in our conversation today is really a very small proportion of the information in the document. So for anyone who wants to have a look at it, how would they do that?
So you can go to the Glen Innes Severn Council website or the Glen Innes Highlands website /invest. And all of the information is on there. You can download it from there. You can also get the link to the survey, which is available for you to feedback officially. You can also go to the town hall to get a printed copy. There's printed copies there and come to the visitor centre where I'm based to get a copy there. Downloadable online. It's all over Facebook. It's in every council office, but town hall will give you a copy. And so will the visitor centre if you want to take one away. You can feedback either by written submission as per normal with anything on public exhibition, or you can fill in the survey online, or indeed the survey is also printed on the back of the strategy if you want to write into the survey.
Okay, so you don't necessarily have to go online. You can go snail mail, as they call it.
Yeah. Yes, you can.
No, excellent. Well, that's good to know. Margot, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We could talk about this all morning, and we probably will in between the tracks here. But thanks for joining us, and I'm sure we'll see you again some other time.
Thanks.